Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. The sun is out, so it's a beautiful sunshine. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Of course, our beloved senior ustad of ustads, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. I want to welcome our beloved engineer, of course, Brother Bonface. He will be with us till 12-ish, inshallah. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And of course, we welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. It is the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. Welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum an Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, to give nicknames in a marriage, and did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam also give nicknames? And depends what nicknames you give to your spouses, Ustad. Is it permissible?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we respond to that query, one, two announcements. Remember that today in South Africa, Mauritius, India, Pakistan and some countries, today is the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. So today after Zuhr, there will be Takbir at Tashriq, and after Asr as well, and then it's finished. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil hamd. Similarly, where it is the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, is haram to fast today because it is part of the Ayyamu Tashriq. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyamu Mina, Ayyamu Aklin wa Shurbin wa Zikrillah, that these are the days of eating, drinking, remembering Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. The hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif, Ibn Majah, various compilations. Yes, if you are in Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, Aqsa al-Mubarak and those countries that followed Makkah Mukarramah, then today is the 14th and you are fasting, it's fine. If you are in Makkah Mukarramah, you can start performing your Umrah from the 14th of Dhul-Hijjah. From the 14th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Umrah season resumes. So all that cognizance should be taken off. Those of you who are coming and returning home on Saturday, Sunday, next week sometime, so you have today, tomorrow, mashallah, you can go for your Umrah, one more Umrah. You go to Tan'im, or you go to Hudaybiyah, call Shumaysiyah, or could go to Jirana. If you're going to Jirana, then take a taxi or a kumbi or bus or what have you, and tell them to wait for you there, because it is far, 30 kilometers away from Makkah Mukarramah, and hardly any much traffic comes that side there. So you make a deal of Zahab Iyab. Zahab Iyab means a return trip, that you go with them, you make your intention there, read your 2 rakat salat there, and then after that you make your 2 rakat salat, then your intention of Umrah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, and make intention for the whole Ummah, inshaAllah. And then you return and you perform your Umrah. And those going to Madinah Munawwara, mashaAllah. So various categories of people are there. And if you don't want to perform Umrah, then you can start fasting also, mashaAllah. You know, every good deed in Makkah Mukarramah is multiplied times 100,000. So all that is there for you to take the benefit from. Okay, whenever we want to solve a problem in Islam, our first point of reference will be the Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, then the Sunnah Mubarakah of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thereafter the fatawa and verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and thereafter the Awliyaullah, and thereafter we go to the four schools of thought. So Quran Sharif teaches us in Surah 49, verse number 11. I told you Surah 49 is Suratul Hujurat. Hujurat refers to the Mubarak apartments, rooms and houses of the Azwaj Mutahharat, the honorable wives of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they have named and entitled the Surah Suratul Akhlaq. It teaches us manners, morals, and you know, all adab and adab and etiquettes and so forth. So therein Almighty Allah teaches us Surah chapter 49, verse 11, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. You cannot call one another by derogatory names. You can't call your husband by donkey and he calls you monkey and all that. Obviously that is unacceptable. But if you keep, you must remember affectionate names. Not only is it permissible, so that is encouraged and is a sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Humaira, go open Dara Qutni, you will find there. Ya Humaira, oh you with a reddish complexion. So speaking of enhancing her beauty, that she, our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, was very fair in complexion, had some redness, so that was to enhance her beauty, and she felt very, very happy, elated and delighted. Ya Aish, Ya Aisha. So if you say Ya Aisha, that is fine, full name. Then you say Ya Aish. In Arabic, in Babalaga and rhetoric, you call this Tarkhim. So remember the last letter, you remove it. Ya Hajara, Ya Hajar. So you will find in Bukhari Sharif. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call her Ya Aish. So that also 100% permissible and desirable. So that is radiallahu anha for our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Ya Siddiqa, that you are Siddiqa bintu Siddiq. You are the daughter of Siddiq. Your father was, is, will be the greatest person for all times, all places, after the prophets and messengers. And you are Siddiqa. Allah jalla wala exonerated you, as enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verses 11 to 26, when the hypocrites and the enemies made wild accusations, allegations like the Kuffar Shias of today. So remember that Almighty Allah revealed the verses of Ifk, Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatum minkum, and in the ending, chapter 24, verses 11 to 26, Allah's verdict for all times and all places. Ulaika mubarra'una mimma yaqulun. You are totally innocent from what they are accusing you and the wild accusations and allegations. So imagine how Almighty Allah elevated. Then you see in Tirmidhi Sharif and other compilations, Allah Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya muwaffaqa. Allah gave you tawfiq. When I was in Makkah Mukarramah and I met my honorable Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, and I told him from here, now I'm going there to India and I'm going to Lucknow to meet Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. So he said, Kray, Sallim alayhi, fa innahu rajulun muwaffaqun wa min baqiyati salaf. He said, give him my special salams and tell him he is from our pious predecessors and is muwaffaq. Allah gave him tawfiq, divine ability, capacity, capability. Mustafa sallallahu Rasulullah used the word for Siddiqa, Ya Muwafaqa. So many lessons. Now bring all this in our terminology. You call your husband, call your wife, darling, poppy, sweetheart, honey. So all that are acceptable. So we don't say it's only permissible. We say it is desirable and it is highly, highly encouraged. And we one should keep affectionate names for one another.
Ustad, this message came right now, about 2.5 minutes ago. It says, I married Mufti Saab, but I'm not happy at all. I need urgent help. Married only for 4 months. Student of Deen, I need someone to talk to. Ustad.
Remember, we don't know what is the problem and we don't get involved. We in this field now for 40 years and more with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. When I was my 20 years in Newcastle, so always I would tell people, go to Maulana Qasim Sema, our principal, Rahimahullah. Sometimes he would call me and you know, there's a fasakh or something and so forth. Mm. But directly, I would not get involved. Similarly, here also in media, we made it our principle. We don't get directly involved. You send us your query, we will answer it and give you the advice. But we must say it is one side of the story. We haven't heard the other side. So my advice to you, you are only married for 4 months. So maybe you need certain time to adjust and so forth and so on. So contact your local ulama, contact your local imams, your local jamiats, and so forth and so on. And in that way there, and you say you're a student of deen, so contact your muallima, your teachers, or if your husband is a molvi, the imam and a sheikh, or that, contact his teachers and so forth, and explain to them what is the problem. See, I'll highlight 5 problems for you. Number one is this, if he's hitting you and assaulting you, so that is very, very serious. Then you have to rethink this whole issue. Second one, if he is busy with other women and so forth, the affair can be a physical affair or a cyber affair. You know, nowadays we have to even highlight all these things here. Physical affair, he meets that lady, she meets him or whatever, Allah forbid. Cyber affair, everything is happening via the internet and chats and what have you, exchanging photos and Allah alone knows what else and so forth. So obviously every Muslim knows that that is haram. Third one is if the husband is involved in drugs and alcohol and so forth. So all that is very, very serious. Fourth one is this, that that person wants you to do haram things and so forth. So today so many messages we get, oral, anal, all this business going on. So we all understand that these are all haram issues. And then the last one will be that you and your husband, maybe both of you, and normally this is what happens, both of you are to blame. And what is the problem? The problem is you demanding too much. He can't keep up with you, with money and expenses and so forth. So we don't know what is the problem. I'm just thinking at the top of my head and so forth. So anyway, my advice to you, sister, will be, we don't know who you are, who your husband is, and that's the best. We don't want to know also. But my advice to you will be, if you are living with your in-laws, then go live separate. If you are living separate, then remember, you and your husband, instead of making war, swearing, cursing one another, make jaw. So discuss the matter. You all are married, you all are adults and so forth. And the aim is jorna, not torna. The aim must be wasulhu khair. To reconcile is the best. And then I gave you the other options. You speak to your teachers or his teachers, go to your local imams and jamiats, and you solve the problem.
Allahu Akbar. I see my auntie soul start. She's only 22 years of age, and she says that she is crying and she went against her father, Ustad. She says, Mufti Saab, the only thing is that he wants me to do haram things, intimacy, Ustad. That's the only thing. Please, Ustad, guide me. I'm your daughter, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember, you see, sister, now the things have come out. 3 things have come out. When the proposal came, because he's a handsome handsome guy or is a rich guy, there's Mal, there's Jamal involved. You said, no, I must marry him. But you didn't take the du'as of your parents. Your parents told you no. Then you threatened them that no, you will run away or you will still get married and so forth. So behold, what happened is you got married, but your parents were not happy. Reluctantly, they just attended the nikah and so forth and so on. I always told you all this for past 40 years and more, that you will never be in a happy marriage until and unless your parents' blessings are with you, your parents' du'as are with you. So it's not too late. You can contact your parents even now and go and kiss their hands and say, me, when we apologize and we ask for forgiveness, you become a better person. Man tawadaa lillahi rafa'ahullah. If you adopt that humility, not because I am saying say, but because Allah is doing, telling you that, for the love of Allah, then Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will elevate you, is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So tell them, I am married already, the marriage is consummated already, so now I made a mistake, but you as parents forgive me and at least make dua for me. So that's one side of the story. So you are to blame. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, is because of your own deeds and your own actions. Then your husband is a Casanova. Your husband is a Romeo. Your husband is a guy. He loves all those funny things, the porn and all those haram activities. So he will tell you, oh darling, sweetheart, let's look at this, let's look at that. And human nature is such, what you look at, then you want to experiment and you want to try. Then he wants to try with you all those filthy and dirty things. So he wants to treat you as a street lady, as a prostitute lady, Allah forbid, and so forth. That's what happens today. So now you realize what a mess you have landed yourself in. So the only way you're going to solve this problem is you start ta'aleem in your house. You'll start reading your 5 daily salat on time. You wake up for tahajjud and cry to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and say, Allahumma hassin farji, Ya Allah, protect my private part. Ya Allah, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. So you have to turn the whole negative into a positive. And if you are sincere, inshallah, and Allah's mercy comes, barakat wasila of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your parents' du'as, then inshallah things will change from negative to positive, inshallah.
I see, I got 2 messages. One says, to the sister who is married only for 4 months, the best people to talk to are your parents and elders, ulama. They will have your best interest at heart. And the other one here is Ba, who starts from World Bank. He says, Mufti Sahab, please give a small nasiha to all our daughters, because they're also carrying the same thing. Ustad, why are our daughters not listening to us? Ustad?
Yes, you see, we have to look at problems holistically, not selectively. The way I look at our society, I don't have children, right? So I can just turn away and say, just carry on, no. But we have to worry, because remember, end of the day, they, our children also in this sense, that they're all looking for some guidance and so forth. You see, when you are married, now you're married 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years, whatever the case might be. Now your daughters are growing up, your sons are growing up, and so forth and so on. So let us be honest, if you take an ordinary Muslim family today, whether they Gujarati, Surti, Hora, Apra, Meman, Urdu, whatever you want to call them, so you will find across the board spectrum, majority of them, they spoil their daughters, they spoil their sons, and so forth. Our daughters can't even make one roti properly. Our daughters can't even cook properly. They can't even run a house properly, and so forth. So we spoil them and we call that love. Now how do you justify that? So one day the husband blows his top and his gasket and everything. She, first time in her life, she's experiencing this, and then she phones her parents, they pick me up, this man is gone mad. You understood? But the husband must go mad, because you are supposed to be running the house. You are supposed supposed to be the one to do the cooking and everything else and so forth. But you know absolutely nothing or very little. So who is to blame? So sometimes our tarbiyat, our training, our coaching, our bringing up of our daughters, we give them everything on the silver platter. And then they don't know what is no. That they want everything their way. So when we spoil them and the husband say, no, you can't get everything your way and so forth. I know of an incident. I give you one incident, right? This lady here, she belongs to a multi-million family, right? Father is a multi-millionaire and so forth and so on. The husband was also quite rich, but not so rich like how the girl's family is. So now the lady wants to buy a pair of shoes. She wants to buy a dress or something, whatever it is. The husband says, no, you can't buy it. They don't need. You got enough shoes, you got enough dresses, you got enough this. She says, but no, it's not your money I'm using, it's my money and my father's money, and you got no right to tell me that. Now you see, so that is where the problem comes. Mal ka rob. Now you want to tell your husband, how dare you come and tell me your nonsense here? I'm not using your money, I'm using my money, I'm using my father's money and so forth, because she only knows everything must go her way. And now who is to blame? And you know what happened? It ended up in a divorce. The husband said, you pack up and you go. So the point I'm making is this. Many a time the husband is to blame because he wants all his wife to do all haram actions and so forth and so on. But many a time our daughters also are to blame because end of the day, let us be honest, they are spoiled brats. Let me tell you that they, no one can tell them anything because you, the parents, spoiled them so much. They don't know how to respect authority, how to respect the person and so forth. They want everything their way because that's how the parents brought them up. So we as parents, as seniors, need to look at, take a good look at our left, at ourselves. I call this, you know, when you look at the robot, then you see a lot of things there. You see green, so green is the wahi, revelation. Then you look at the orange, so that is your akal, your intelligence. And then you look at the red, that is our desires. So when there is a conflict between desires and our intelligence, then use your intelligence and intellect. You know you got the problem with sugar and diabetes and so forth. But you say, bring the custard, bring the jelly, bring the pudding, bring the mitai, bring the barfi, bring the laddu, bring this. So it's very tasty. But then you're going to suffer again. So when we become slaves of our desires, we don't listen to our intelligence and intellect, then we have to suffer the consequences. So when there is a conflict between the reason, that is your orange, and revelation, your green, then remember, always there will be problems. So what we have done, you know, this, I don't read in books. Allah just put in our head, is hada min fadli rabbi, hada rahmatu min rabbi. I call this the C syndrome. You know, A, B, C. Now Allah blessed you with a wonderful, beautiful daughter, handsome son. So now you gave birth, mashallah, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. So we gave them the best of clothing. C for clothing. Now they grow up. Then we gave them the best of cell phones. They 3-4 years old, nippers they are, but we're already giving them cell phones. You say, no, he's crying for the cell phone, so we'll give him the cell phone. Then they grow up more and more, give them more and more CDs. Thereafter, they grow up more, they tell you, take these coins, and we don't want coins. Bring paper money. So we give them cash. So we gave them best clothing, we gave them cell phones, we gave them CDs, we gave them cash. Now he say, no, I want laptop and I want computer and I want this. And so we gave them that also. So all the C's we gave, but the greatest C, oh father, mother, you didn't give. So what is the greatest C? Open Tirmidhi Sharif, you will find, ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The greatest gift you, O father, mother, can give to your children is the quality of good character. That we never taught our children. Let us be honest. Remember this type of things. We buy their love. We don't share the love. You as a father, when last you had the heart-to-heart talk with your daughter? Your talk with your daughter, make tea, make this, bring samosas, bring donuts, bring samosas. Oh, that's all. And end of the week comes, he's going to play golf. Allah alone knows which golf he's going to play. He's going to play with his friends or he's going to play golf with his girlfriend and mistress. And the mother, she's too busy in the mall, sometimes too busy with Paul and all that goes on. I mean, that is our modern society today. So we are here to tell you that where the problem lies, but it's too difficult for our people to accept it because the truth is very bitter. So they say they live in denial. Remember this. They live in denial. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'adhira. Deep down, they know where the problem is, but outwardly, they'll keep on giving excuses. So that is where we are today. First thing is we as parents, generally, we have spoiled our sons, our daughters so much. Antalida al-amatu rabbataha. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, okay, tell us the ashratu sa'ah. What are the signs of Qiyamah? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you the mother, you will give birth to your master. You the mother, you will give birth to the master. So what does it mean? Allah. It means that the mother and sometimes the father are too afraid to tell their son and daughter. Why? Because they are paying the rental. They are paying the medical aid. Our small children, I go to how many masjids here? So you see children 4 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, they coming masjid. Egg and noise there and all that, chalo, they come finish. Now when your son is 15 years old, when he's 17 years old, you can't tell him he must read Fajr Salat and wake him up. Why? Because he is going to tell you so much nonsense and so forth. Your daughter, you can't tell her. So when Salat was not first and compulsory, that time you took them to the masjid. And when it's compulsory, we don't have the guts and we don't have that sense to tell them, come on, you have to read Salat. So who is to blame for all this? So we are not good examples in parenting. We are not good examples when we are prepared to sacrifice Salat. We will sacrifice everything else. Today's world, you want the job. Then they tell you, present your CD, your curriculum vitae, they call resume, biodata, whatever they want to call it. Fine, right? So where you studied, what your experiences are, what your talents and all these things here. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala on his time, he was a genius, half the world he was ruling almost at that time. So Amirul Mu'minin, open what time a Malik, you will find it. He would tell the governors and the rulers in different territories, when people come and they want to work, you must see how particular, meticulous they are regarding their salat. If that person is not committed to his salat, then he will waste everything else also. Who today is worried about the children's salat and their own salat? I'm asking you. Hajis will come today, tomorrow, next week, see them after 1 week, they already missing from salat and so forth. So what hajj you perform? Sayyidina Hassan Basri, tomorrow our topic will be this with Mona Zahid Khan. Durusul Hajj, Durusul Qurbani. What lessons did we learn from the Qurbani? What lessons did we learn from the Hajj? What lessons did we learn from the Eid al-Adha? That is our topic for tomorrow at the same time between 11 and 12. So when Imam Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahimahullah was asked the question, how do I know my Hajj is accepted? How do I know? My beloved father, I was a young boy. My beloved father and mother went for Hajj in 1963. Hajj was on a Friday. That much I remember. And I remember the people came from so far and wide to come and meet them. And they brought a plane for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And that plane used to make all different sounds. Big people came to see the toy plane. You understood? It was like that. Mm. They were so fascinated. What a smart plane your parents brought for you and all. But I remember from from that time, 63, till my father passed away, 82, he never missed the salat.
Hmm.
That are the signs of a Hajj Maqbool, Hajj Mabroor. Sayyidina Hassan Basri, Rahimahullah, used to say, but the sign that the person's salat is accepted, Al-Raghba ilal Akhirah. You have more and more inclination to the year after, and Al-Raghba anid Dunya. The love of this glitter and glamour of the world becomes not attractive anymore. You don't go into the world. You now start preparing more and more for the Akhirat. Who talks to their children today about Akhirat? Who talks today to the children we have to worry of protecting our Iman, our Islam? Today the talk is, what is the latest movie? What is the latest fashion? What is the latest trend? Which is the latest mall? Which is the latest poll? So that is our discussions today. So we as parents, before we start blaming our flowers and children, we also blame a lot. Remember, we brought the, if our father, mother said no, when I started Hifz, I didn't even know I'm going to Hifz class. What are you talking?
Subhanallah.
That my father, mother went to Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, and they said that Poirone Hafiz Banawanu and us, and I know absolutely nothing. My father came back because my mother, she knew that this guy, he will pick some funny things. Father said, Sonny, tomorrow morning you must be ready 4 o'clock, and you know that 30 Supara, you must have that ready, you starting Hifz. Gee, finish, no questions in this. So we go there, Hafiz Limalia told me, you good for nothing, you can't even look inside and read Quran. I felt shy to tell your parents you're such a good for nothing. See, and you started Hifz like that. So just because the parents said so, but then they cried, they made dua. So today, who is going to do that? Today, the child will tell his parents, you go fly a kite. Who you? Why you didn't consult with me? Why you didn't discuss with me? 101 issues we also will bring. So always, same thing with marriage. That who are you, I must consult with you. I saw the boy, I saw the girl, we dating, smooching, does this and all that. We be tribal already and everything finished. What you talking? So that is all the haram dandas we bring. So 80% of the time, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. We bring the calamities ourselves upon ourselves. Look at the drugs. Look at the alcohol. Look at the pornography. Look at the haram dandas. Our income is tainted. So 101 things you must address. Then you will see the barakat and khairat in your life. How Allah will guide you at all times, all places.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. I see says shukran. I see listeners, they want today's podcast. I see there's a mother from Lodium. She says, Mufti Saab, I'm a Maimon as well. My daughter is listening to you currently now. She's in the kitchen. She's separated. She's in separation and she's crying, Mufti Saab. Exactly. That's what's happening to her.
100%. You see, sometimes, you know, I can't understand, you know, how many, yesterday I asked one guy. Yesterday in a masjid, he reads a lot next to me. I say, bhai, I know you told me now your second marriage is finished. What's your age? He told me 32. I told him, how many children you got? He said, no. And he gave me his story before I was married first time and the second time and this. To me, he looks like a good guy. And he's a Hafiz on top of it, you know. And he's a professional, he's an accountant or something, whatever. But I don't know what happens in the bedroom, obviously. Well understood. So this type of things here. So if you ask me for reference, I'll tell you he's a good guy. But end of the day, I see him in a masjid, he's reading Salat, he's reading Quran, and you know, sometimes it's Taqdeer also, we don't know. But end of the day, we also, with Taqdeer goes Tadbeer. What is Taqdeer and Tadbeer? Taqdeer is what Allah has decreed. But Tadbeer, Allah has given us Aql also. You know that the road is full of potholes. And I told you, when you're going to Lodium, you're going to Pretoria, you're going to Johannesburg, don't use that road there. Use the other road and all. Hey, talking nonsense, man. I use that road every time. Now you go in the pothole, now the whole car finish, whole wire, tires, everything finished. Now who you blame now? Now you want to blame Taqdeer. No, it's your foolishness that people told you, but you don't listen. So that is also our problem today.
Beautiful advice, Ustad. Beautiful. Somebody says, my sister-in-law, Mufti Saab, my sister-in-laws are abusive, but my mother-in-law says she doesn't want to get involved with Ustad.
Yeah, but that is why we told you, you see. پہلے زمانہ میں گھر کچے تھے اور دل پکے تھے. In the olden days, we used to live in the houses. Who used to worry about, you must remember, the house must be posh and smart and there must be carpets and we had tapete. You know what is tapete, Molana? Tapete is lino. You understand?
We call lino in
Afrikaans. We say tapete. We used to sell in a shop and all that. That's why I know these names, you know. Who used to worry about this? So the houses were kacha. They were not so smart and all that. Simple. And how the hearts were pakka. So if 10 people also came, hey, no problem, man. We put a mattress here, mattress here, mattress here, and we all sleep and everything. Today, people will have 10 bedrooms and 3 people come, they'll say, bye, for what you came? Like, when you came, when you wake, you know? And you see that room there, you can't enter this white carpet there. You know, understood? You can't sit on that sofa there. Goju Tejai. You know, understood? Yeah, that it'll get dirty. So the houses became pakka, but the hearts became kacha. The hearts became very small and all. This is a reality. We must speak about this. So everything is tip top. Sometimes I go to certain houses, I tell them, no, we'll sit this side here. I can see that side is a little bit cheap furniture. That other side is very, very smart. We can't sit that side. They say when Mandela and them come, you put them there. So the politicians come, you put them there, you see. But we ordinary mortals, we'll sit this side and this type of things here. But they know what I'm talking about, but we just make it as a joke. You all understood? And this type of things. So the lesson is that jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. When you have that big heart, then Allah Ta'ala will make you and elevate you also. Now you the mother, you the mother-in-law, you supposed to save the marriage. You can't say that no, I can't get involved in all these type of things. You the mother is the one where the people have to gravitate towards her. People have to come towards her. I was telling my wife, I say today is Eid day, is Sunday. Now where people will go? If the mother of the house is there, they will gravitate, they will go there. The mother is gone, the father is gone, everybody goes on with their own life and this type of things. Yeah, because ghar ki noorani batti is gone. The magnet of the house is gone. So that's what happens normally. So the point I'm making is, yeah, that we, in the olden days, so the father, mother, son, 3 sons, 5 sons, all would live in one house with the daughter-in-law, everything, because the hearts were magnanimous. Today, you can't do that. Show me one house today where 3, 4, 5 daughter-in-laws are living in one house. You will get 1%, 5%. So I myself, I'll tell you, in this day and this age, from day one, I even tell my family members, when they come for proposal, tell them that your daughter, my niece or my sister or whatever, I'm just giving examples. So remember, they're going to live separate from day one. They can't live together. Because the woman today, once they start fighting in their kitchen, then to solve the problem is very big then. So therefore, from day one today, rather tell them live separate, because you know that everybody wants their privacy, everybody wants the independence and so forth. But if that girl's parents got sense, they will tell the boy's parents, no, our daughter will stay with you for 1, 2, 3 years, because she doesn't know how to cook properly, she doesn't know how to run a house properly, she will learn from you, oh mother-in-law. So then you know these people got some sense and some wisdom. But today, who's going to do that? There, one fight must take place, then finish everything. Then the mother-in-law don't want to speak, daughter-in-law don't want to speak, and all. Then the bichara husband comes, his mother is crying, his wife is crying, he's torn between loyalties. What must he do? So he starts crying and he runs away from the house. But I go sit in a masjid. So that is where all the problems come about.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Well, it's 19 minutes to 12 o'clock. Just before we go for an interval, inshallah, just one more question, Ustad. Mufti Ustad, did you hear the new one? Parents are getting their daughters married at 16 or 17 years old while they are still going to school, even by just putting gold chains and going to live with the guy What is this said? Ustad, anonymous.
So it's better to get married than run around and have affairs. Is it not so? So you must remember that if you study Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the most beloved Ladli, the most beloved Sahibzadi, the most beloved child and daughter of the Master alayhi salatu salam, if you study Asma'u Rijal and Nisa, the history and profile of Sahaba, go open Al-Isaba fi Tamizi Sahaba of Ibn Hajar is a masterpiece. So you go study that. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was 15 years old and 5 months old when she married Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So remember, it's very good that we get our sons, our daughters married when they are young, provided that they are responsible enough to worry about and they know the responsibilities of marriage and so forth. And juxtapose and compare that with others. Say, no, you young only but once. So now you must have boyfriend, you must have girlfriend, you must test this one out, try this one out, try this one. So I'm posing the question to you. So which one is better? That we get our sons, daughters married quickly and early, or let them run around and loaf around with this girl, with this boy and so forth and this end. When he gets married, then he can't do anything. Why? Because rifle repairs. You understood? He got sexually transmitted diseases or he got AIDS and this type. So we call that rifle repairs.
Well, it's exactly now 15 minutes to 12 o'clock. Somebody says, you start that after divorce, do I still inherit from my ex-husband's will if he did not alter his will? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, we remind the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, our brother Faisal Asmal, Yusuf Asmal and crew, and our listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Remember, today is the 13th of Zulhijjah. So after Zuhur, you will read your takbir, and after Asr, you will read and then finish. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Today you can't be fasting, but from tomorrow onwards you want to fast because it's Thursday, Sunnah fast. You want to keep qaza, all that, totally permissible, there's no problem. Yen mansa duat is anar mansa bruat. Remember, you only inherit because of sababain, because of two reasons. Either you inherit because of blood ties. My father passed away, mother passed away, I'm the son, so my sister is the daughter, so we inherit because of blood relationship. So parents will inherit, then children will inherit, brothers inherit, sisters inherit, depending on who is alive and what and what in the conditions. And second, when you will inherit because of nikah and ziwaj. But you are divorced, you're out of the picture. You must remember your history. The husband carried on with geography, he took another wife. So your name might be in the world, but you inherit zilch, nothing. When you hear your ex-husband passed away, you must say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and that 100,000 that you're supposed to get is also gone. You inherit zero, nothing. Yes. If the husband has sense, common sense, he realized it was his mistake, and he realized that he made the big blue, and by giving you and issuing the talaq and so forth, then in his will, he wrote there that this lady, she was once upon a time my wife and so forth, and now he divorced you, and then now you're not entitled to anything, to nothing, you're not entitled to 1 rupee, $1, 1 rand, nothing. But he said that end of the day, she is the mother of my children or child. So he wrote after first burial, funeral expenses. Second is the deaths of the deceased. Third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs. So people who are not heirs, like adopted children and so forth. So the maximum amount is 1/3 of the net estate, and that 4th is the shares of the heirs. So his wife, his children, his parents, they will inherit. So he realized that you are the mother of his children, or he made a mistake and now he realized that, why did he give you talaq? So he says for you, you know, he's bequeathing, making wasiyah for you, 50,000, 10,000, 100,000. So then that will be permissible. But inheritance, you inherit zilch, you inherit zero, nothing you inherit.
Somebody says, Ustad, I would like to remain anonymous. My husband is a Maulana. who gives strange females advice over the phone. Is this permissible, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember, sometimes he's giving advice to them and sometimes he's flirting with them, the way you have posed the question and so forth. So if he's giving real advice, then he must tell you that you must be present and put the phone on speakerphone. So then you know exactly what's happening. But if he tells the women that you must phone this time when you're not there or you're sleeping, then remember, it's not permissible, especially if already there's a track record of these type of things here. Therefore, you must remember that this is a way. Therefore, we don't get involved in these things. Whenever the woman phoned me, they come a long story. I say, listen, no sense me, I'm going to listen to your conversation. I'm just going to make G, 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 G. We don't know whether it's the truth or not. And women, you know, majority of them, how they exaggerate and so forth. Even men, they exaggerate. So best, both of you go to your jamiat, your local Maulana, Imam, Sheikh, whoever, and you go tell your story. They, we can't do much and so forth. So we must be very careful. It's not only your husband. It can be any Maulana. It can be me. It can be anybody. So that sometimes the woman, the way they will speak, hey, Mufti sir, the way that they want to flirt, they start the flirting. You must remember this type of thing. So you must be very careful about that. Therefore, Quran Sharif said, "Inna kayda shaytani kana dha'ifa." The plotting, planning of shaitan is very weak. And woman, "Inna kayda kunna azim." They are plotting, planning, and then when they start with their crocodile tears, then you must see. You understood? They know when to cry. You must remember. See, in Tafsir, they wrote a nice story. Who are the people who were lying, but they will go to Jannah? Who are the people who were lying, but one day they will go to Jannah? Who are the people who spoke the truth, but yet they will enter Jahannam? So that's the question they asked in Tafsir. So the answer, the brothers of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, he was very young, he was very handsome, the apple of the father's eye. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob, peace be upon him, his favorite, beloved son Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. So the brothers took him, the 10 brothers, not Binyamin, Binyamin was at home, that's his full brother, the other half brothers, and they took him and they dumped him and threw him in the well. Then they came Isha time. What time they came? Isha time. To create the perception, impression, father, we're looking for him here and there and we can't find him. Now they came Isha time. So they are the people who lied, but one day they will go to Jannah. Waja'u abahum Isha ayyabakun. And they came to their father Isha time. And they crying, our brother Yusuf, we don't know where he is, father. But they dumped him in the well. And all these things here. And he knew that because the dream and all that. So they lied, but Allah will forgive them. And Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam forgave them. And they entered Jannah one day, you see, because they passed away with Iman. And then other people spoke the truth, but yet they enter Jahannam. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَى عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. So the Jews say the Christians are not on the truth, and the Christians say that the Jews are not on the truth. Both parties spoke the truth, but both end up in Jahannam. Why? Because they die on kufr and shirk and so forth. So therefore, we must be very careful how we interact with people. People, sometimes they know how to cry. See the brothers, they came Isha time. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ إِشَاءَ أَيَّبَكُونَ. And they cried. In Memon, we got a nice word. You know, this kind of things, I still remember how my mother used to tell me. Dong dating kareto. Dong dating. Yeah, there's a special word. Dong dating. Kareto, they're pretending, makar kareto. You see, sometimes, you know, we don't want to go to school. Oh, we got some fairy tale excuse. We hold our stomach or something. You say, makar kareto, dong dating kareto. He's just pretending. There's nothing wrong with him. He just makes pazal.
like you see. So there, they can make a lot of problems like that. We gave you a lesson in Mammon there.
I see Bai says that's a good one. Tong the thing kareko start from World Bank.
Yeah. You must learn all that. That is Mammon with Tajweed.
With Tajweed. Ustad, somebody needs advice here. My child was born with a brain hemorrhage. They told me my child is a cabbage and given me the decision to look after him or take his life. What should I do? Anonymous mommy, Ustad.
See, I give you a lesson. Last night I mentioned it in my tafsir. Uh-huh. We were doing some ayats. So I told them, and I'm relating the same story to you. 3-4 weeks ago, I went to Eastern Cape. I went from here to East London. My brother is there, Hafiz Dr. Ismail Mullah and his family. Allah reward them. Then I went to Queenstown. Dr. Magda is there, mashallah, 35, 36 years, doing sterling work. He and Appa and his family, Dawat and Tabligh. Then I came to PE and Hafiz Salim and his son Hafiz Safwan, his nikah all. So Dr. Magda, mashallah, wonderful person, lot of fikr, he, his family, Allah reward them. Then I went to Durban after that. So mashallah, then the message came to Hafiz Basa and myself. Hafiz Basa is a champion, he's a sharpshooter. He knows all the shortcuts and roads and he puts me in time there. So Dr. Magda's grandson. So his son-in-law is, his son rather, not son-in-law, his son is a Maulana. And the daughter-in-law is there, and the son is 10 years old. So the son is Ma'azur, you see. The son, listen to the story, Maulana. It's a Ajib story. He's 10 years old, and this type of thing. But Ma'azur. So I told him, no, we will definitely go, but we'll just spend 5-10 minutes. From there, we'll go for the program. So we went to the house. I made sure I went to sit right next to the Ma'azur. So the child, he speaks, Mufti Iki, because he listened. Maybe he's listening now also, I don't know. So this is Dr. Magda's son, you see, Ismail, his name. So I told him, Beta, how are you? Read one surah for me. He started reading A'uzu, then he talked, then he read Bismillah, and he talked, and then he read surah, like that. So I asked his father, his father is a Maulana. I see, how many parts of the Quran he know? He's Ma'azur child. So you know, he got problems. So, and challenges, whatever. He say he knows 2 Jews. I say, Subhanallah, yeah, how he learned? How he learned 2 Jews? He say, Talqeenan. What is Talqeen? Father, mother, Asaj, they read Quran. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So he can't read, he can't write and all that. He's Ma'zur child. But he listens, you see. He say, I listen to you, Mufti. So that, and he want to speak and all that. So I told him, I will take your name. So next day, I took his name. So, Talqeenan. So mother reads, father reads, all that. Grandfather reads when they go there, mother, like that. So see, so that is our Islam. You don't listen to all these doctors' nonsense of theirs. They told us there's a pandemic and a plague. I told you it's a pandemic and a scamdemic. They just after to make money, majority of them, bring the medical aid and they will make you a milking cow. Say, your child is a cabbage, your child is this. Leave all this nonsense. You must start reading Quran. Make talqeen. Read Quran abundantly in front of their child and see how much their child will absorb. Allah Jalla wa Ala said Quran is shifa wa nunazzilu min al-Quran ma huwa shifa. You heard of Ibn Sina? The West call him Avicenna. The West call his great book, his magnum opus, they call it the canon. We call it Qanun. So there is a sick person, a patient. But when Ibn Sina, Avicenna, when the Maulana was there, the Imam was there. So Ibn Sina got very angry. He was furious. What are you doing at us? But the Maulana was a sharp guy, you see. So he told Ibn Sina, you know, Ibn Sina, you're such a great physician and you're a big doctor and you are thus and thus and all this. He praised him lavishly, he started flying figuratively. But he told him, your brother, he's a stingy, he's a kanjus, he's a makichus, he's a bakhil, he's thus, a miser. He wiped that smile off him in 1 minute. So he told Ibn Sina, look at yourself.
Allah.
I praised you 1 minute minute, you were flying. The next minute, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, I spoke something with your brother, and look at your body language. If this is the athar, the impact of Kalamul Bashar, human being speech got so much impact. What do you think is the impact of Kalamullah, the direct speech of Almighty Allah? You're asking what I was doing? I'm reading Surah Fatiha. I'm reading Ayatul Kursi. I'm reading the Quls. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that and taught us to do that. We're not saying we mustn't take medication, but to say that your son, your daughter is cabbage and thus and that, rather kill him, rather make abortion. We say all that is haram and nonsensical things. You must say this child is a special child. Inna Allaha. إنكم ترزقون بدعفائكم إنكم تنصرون بدعفائكم مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم said because of your ma'zoor children Allah will increase your risk, Allah will give you more risk and assistance. That is our Islam.
Allah,
not this westerners and seculars a whole day just want to make money and tell you, give you one donkey pox and one monkey pox and this and one this booster and one rooster and all the shaitan business. So remember, that is our Islam we must present to everybody. Allah give us tawfiq to understand.
Ustad, before you announce the next programs, inshallah, I see the mother is crying, Ustad. She says, at least my child, I know they say he's got a hemorrhage, but when he looks at me, he just smiles. Maybe he recognizes his mommy's face.
No, he knows you. You read Quran. Every day read Quran and blow. Tell your whole family, read Quran. You just do that. Everything come right, inshallah. Right, next up, 12 o'clock news with Brother Yusuf Ali. And then, mashallah, Mohammed Zahid, he gave me a nice notice today. All typed up, tip-top, beauty, duty with beauty. So, mashallah, the book of battles, so meaning the ghazawat of Nabi alayhi salam on Aridwan Kaji, very interesting. 1 o'clock Adhan, then 105 to 130 Tafsir Surah Hadid verses 16 to 22, 3rd and 130 to 2 from the Surah Shuhara, 181 to 191, then 2 to 3 Brother Yusuf Ali, current affairs, then thereafter the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting this morning's one, you must listen to it. Then 20 to 4, quarter to 4 to 4 o'clock Duas and Zikr, 4 o'clock to 5 more Salim Dorat in Urdu, nurturing children. You see the topic we had just now, Tarbiyatul Aulad, how to bring up our children and coach them, train them. Thereafter 5 to 7 will be Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 the repeat of today's Tafsir Surah Hadid verses 16 to 22, 7:30 to 8 more Yunus Patel Rahimahullah's advices, 8 to 10 Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, 8 to 9 pertinence punctuation, and 9 to 10 medical files. And today is Dr. Abdul Majid Khatmi. He's a very good doctor. He's in UK. He speaks very good things. And thereafter 10 to 11 Mawlana Suleiman Qatani. So wonderful lineup, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala accept. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And of course tomorrow morning 4 to 6 As-Safinatu ilal Jannah. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Handsome Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.